In approaching this piece, I referred to two pieces I've already written about Trump. One was a piece last year about the effect of China entering the World Free Trade Agreement on US employment, and that was called Deaths of Despair. The next piece that I did this year covered the same area, but with more detail and effect and more influence effect on the economy, and that was called Is Trump Rational? And what I'll attempt to show in this is that I believe that Trump has three objectives in his negotiations with China. One has already been achieved, which we can discover from the argument that I presented in the two previous papers. The second will can be achieved in the medium term, and the third will take many years of negotiation. So these issues will and this kind of discussion will be with us for a considerable period ahead. In the piece, Deaths of Despair, I opened it with a discussion of China's entry into the World Trade Organization. And I noted that before China entered into the World Trade Organization, that exports to the United States faced a low tariff, but they were subject to annual review. And the fact that they were subject to annual review meant there was uncertainty in the situation of American firms wishing to locate to China. If an American firm wanted to move its plant, manufacturing plant from Wisconsin to China, it would engage in a huge amount of sunk costs and also technology transfer. But that entire investment could be lost in 1 year as as tariffs were increased subject to annual review. So the result of that, because of that risk of tariffs, there was no transfer of US manufacturing to China. Now that changed in 2001 when China became part of the World Trade Organization. And from that time, there was still the low tariffs of Chinese imports to the United States, but there was no annual review. Now, from that time, there was the beginning of a very significant transfer of US manufacturing into China. Now, in the first piece that I wrote on this called Deaths of Despair, I review the economic literature on this and published papers that have been in the American Economic Review, which is the world's leading academic journal of economics. And in that, what it shows is that over the first decade of this century, starting from a position of 18 million manufacturing jobs, 6 million of those jobs were lost in the first 10 years. And so 6 million US manufacturing workers lost their jobs, and they never ever got them back because from then on, manufacturing employment in the United States stabilizes. Now, what that then generates, quite remarkably in the US health statistics, is a situation where from then on, instead of death rates declining for in a group called white workers with high school degrees, that is to say, people who have grade 12 education but no university education, is the death rates start to rise. And this is a unique effect in the United States. It doesn't happen in Europe, it doesn't happen in Australia, it doesn't happen in Canada, but it happens in the United States. And what you find is that the rate of death of older workers begins to rise because of alcohol-related diseases, and the rate of death of younger workers rises because of opioid abuse. And this is really because of this destruction of opportunity in whole communities because of the manufacturing moving to China. In the second piece that I wrote this year, which I looked at a broader geographical analysis, the piece called Is Trump Rational? What I showed here was a work by Ed Glaser, who was a noted geographical economist. And he noted that if you looked at the employment growth in the US this century, what you found was there was heavy growth in the coastal areas, in the East Coast and the West, and in California. There was some growth in employment in what he called the Western Heartland, which was the interior west of the Mississippi. But in the area east of the Mississippi, which had changed statehood before 1840, and that's basically the place north from Missouri up to Ohio, there hadn't been a job added in 20 years. And he and he referred to this is the Eastern Heartland. So this is the area of crisis in the US economy. This is the area of crisis in employment and social crisis. And it is from this crisis that Trump, these are the Trump voters, and this is the Trump base, and it's from these people that Trump got elected in 2016. And it was basically because most of the academic and administrative establishment was blind to this crisis happening in the US economy that was the reason, I believe, that Trump's election was such a surprise. Now, to address these problems, Trump has three objectives. And the first of these is to increase risk to people in importing Chinese goods into the United States. Now, originally that risk was removed by stabilizing the level of tariffs, but by merely moving around the level of tariffs of Chinese imports to the United States, he reestablishes and reintroduces that risk. And what that does is immediately does that, that makes the sunk costs of a US firm moving to China so potentially great that it simply stops it in its tracks. So the first objective of stopping more American firms moving to China has already been achieved just by increasing the uncertainty of US tariffs. So first objective. The second objective is that in this area, is the Trump base. The largest single manufacturing employer is car manufacturing. Now, in April, the White House noted that tariffs, if the US imports a tariff, like a motor vehicle from China, it charges a tariff of 2.5%. But if China imports a tariff from the United States, it charges a tariff of 25%, 10 times as much. So I think that this is the intermediate objective, to get the Chinese to reduce their motor vehicle tariffs. And the result of that is that generates more employment in the Eastern Heartland, which is the Trump's base. So I think those two things are the first and second objective. But the third objective is much more dramatic and much more aggressive. And the source of this is Peter Navarro, who's the Director of Trade and Industrial Policy and head of the White House National Trade Council. He wrote a book, which is beginning of this, I think is why he got selected from the job. It's called Death by China in 2011. But more importantly for this discussion, in June this year, 2 months ago, he issued this document. And this document is titled How China's Economic Aggression Threatens the Technologies and Intellectual Property of the United States and the World. And in this, he lists 50 things that China currently does which are against the rules of the World Trade Organization in dealing with intellectual property. There's five big sections, and I'll just refer to a few of them. The first is physical theft and cyber-enabled theft of technology and IP. Well, that's pretty straight up, isn't it? Physical, and the items in that, there's five items: physical theft of technologies and IP through economic espionage, cyber-enabled espionage and theft, evasion of US export control laws, counterfeiting and piracy, and reverse engineering. Now, this is just the beginning of this document. It refers to coercive and intrusive regulatory gambits, which include many segments here, which I I might refer to in a written commentary, economic coercion, such as which in the next section is economic coercion, so as export restraints and monopoly-like purchasing power, information harvesting, Chinese nationals in the US as non-traditional information collectors, I think that means spies, recruitment of science, technology, business and finance talent, and state-sponsored technology-seeking investment, such as mergers and acquisitions and seed and venture funding. I think that that will take many years of negotiation. So in short, this is big power rivalry at its best. The initial objectives that Trump wanted to achieve of stopping US firms making further investment in China have already been achieved by increasing the uncertainty with respect to tariffs. The second objective, it will be a negotiation about automotive tariffs. I think that there will be some kind of resolution of that in the next year. But the major issue, which is the theft of Chinese theft of US technology, will take many years to negotiate. These issues will be with us for some time to come.